from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Steelers reporting to training camp this morning. Fotanu was the first guy through the door. We'll see when Cam Hayward arrives. I'm assuming he will arrive. We'll see if Najee actually talks today, because he hasn't talked yet since they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I think that's the most interesting potential interview of the day. And, of course, across football, there's storylines everywhere, including Baltimore, the Steelers' hated rival, the defending division champion. And here to talk about them, one of our favorites, Rob Long from 105.7. The Fan in Baltimore. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Rob, really appreciate you coming on today. In reading some previews around the football world for the Ravens, it feels like people expecting them maybe to take a step back because of some off-season personnel losses, including defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. How do you feel about the Ravens?
I think the Ravens could take a step back in terms of the overall record being relevant in the postseason. I see them still being that. It's not an easy start for this football team. You start off on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. You had the Raiders. That's a team I believe they could beat. Going on the road against the Cowboys is always tough. Even though you had the Bills at home, it's still the Bills, and then you have the Bengals. Mm. That could be challenging. You know what I mean? It could, especially when you have a defense that you lost to Jadeveon Clowney, who was huge. Even when Jadeveon didn't get to the quarterback, he wreaked a lot of havoc. You know, you lost some pieces, and you lost to me one of the best DCs in the game. So the first part of the season can be really challenging for the Ravens, but I believe ultimately, because John Harbaugh is a leader of men, they'll be fine when the postseason comes.
So of all their losses, you know, aside from the defensive coordinator, of their actual player losses between Geno Stone, Queen, Zeitler, Clowney, who's the biggest actual player loss in your opinion?
Ooh, between those guys, I'd have to say Clowney. Mm. To be honest with you, I was very skeptical about that signing, because Clowney's never been that guy. He came here and not only did he get his sacks, but he really paved the way for others to get some too. I think he's a big part of Justin Madubuike's big year last year. I think he also helped Adafi Owe grow up a lot last year as well. So he served a great role in the final part of his career. I think he just wanted to go home. He went to Carolina. He's from Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is about 30, 40 minutes away from that stadium. I just think he is at a point now in his career he just wanted to go home.
What's Derrick Henry got left, Rob?
Derrick Henry is an absolute beast. He's one of those guys. I'm a guy I've always said, if I was a general manager in the National Football League, there are very few running backs that I would sign to a second contract. Very few. Derrick Henry was always one of those guys because I think you get the most out of a running back in their first contract. I just do. Derrick Henry looks like to be a guy who's still in tremendous shape. He's still very strong. Even a letdown for him last year was better than most other running backs. So I think he still has a lot left in the tank, especially putting him back there with Lamar.
Is the plan to use a little load management with him or just ride him?
I think you have to do a little load management. I think, Joe, that's the smart thing to do. You can't run him like your number one horse right away. I think you have to get him ready to do that in December and in January.
Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Text in the city later, so make them good. A personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's talk Lamar, Rob. I like him. In fact, I love him. He wins almost all the time, but I do agree that at some point you got to get over the hump in the playoffs and make things happen down the field in the playoffs. But man, 25 teams would take him, I think, maybe more. What are your thoughts on Lamar coming out of the way the season ended last season?
I'll try to say what you just said in my way because you almost said exactly what I would say. I love Lamar. He's a game changer. I think it's a mistake to try to compare Lamar to other quarterbacks. Because I would flip it, Joe. I would say compare other quarterbacks to Lamar. You can't do it. He's tremendous. He's a winner. You look at this team, when he took over, they were 4-6 or 4-5. They were 10-6 that year and got to the playoffs when Flacco got hurt. And he hasn't looked back. He's never looked back. But, I don't know a playoff signature moment for Lamar. That regular season signature moments where he was playing against the Browns, got hurt, got sick, came back, and led them down to victory. The home game against the Chiefs. There are a lot of regular season moments for Lamar Jackson. I don't know of a playoff signature moment for him. He's 2-time league MVP. He was in the AFC Championship game last year at home. And we did it. You held the Chiefs. You shut them out in the second half. You got to win that game. So he's at a point of his career right now where he's only judged by winning championships now. He has the personal accolades. We get it. Regular season, you're one of the most dominant quarterbacks, dominant football players in all of the league. There's only one thing left. There's no other boxes to check. Give me another box to check other than the Super Bowl.
At least getting there, yeah, and that's a big box to check. And I'm wondering, in your opinion, as you diagnose it, Rob, what has kept him from signature moments or a signature moment even in the playoffs? What's keeping him from that?
Well, it's a combination of things. He's played poorly in the past. He has. In playoff games, he's played poorly at times. Turned the football over at costly times. I think also he's had some play calling that has really hurt him. They ran the ball 6 times. In the playoff game against the Chiefs, a week after the Chiefs got destroyed in the running game against the Buffalo Bills. Why is that? So I think there's been a combination of things. There are eyes on not only Lamar, but also John Harbaugh and company going into the regular season because not only is he played less than stellar in the postseason, but I think the coaches, especially on the offensive side, have left a lot to be desired in the postseason.
All right, Rob, let's get to the good stuff. You and Patrick Queen, I think the last time you were on here, you said, I don't know if Queen can be the guy without Roquan Smith. I think Steelers Nation is going to be a little bit disappointed. Patrick Queen got a hold of that quote and said on the artist formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, quote, I don't know what radio show host talking about. He got to show me on film. Do you have the film, Rob? What do you make of this whole thing? Is there a brewing feud here with Patrick Queen?
I don't have a brewing feud with Patrick Queen. I get paid to talk. I get paid to give my opinion. I did. I don't I just wasn't that disappointed when they wouldn't re-sign him. I knew Patrick Queen wouldn't be around for a second contract because Patrick Queen's great times was when Roquan Smith got there. That's fact. I don't have to just – he didn't move positions when Roquan got there. They already moved him to another position before Roquan was traded to Baltimore. Look that up. I don't need film. You can just look at it. He played better when they got Roquan. Does that make him a bad football player? No, it doesn't. To me, it makes him a guy that, you know, needs another guy in order for him to get it done. I'm not upset about, I think, Trenton Simpson's going to step in, the young kid from Clemson, third-round draft pick, and be just fine. I don't think the Baltimore Ravens are going to miss Patrick Queen. I just don't. You know, I may have ruffled his feathers, and it ruffled a lot of feathers of Pittsburgh. I think I was on Twitter for like 2 weeks. But, you know, it's an opinion. It's an opinion. I don't think we'll miss him. I think we'll miss Jadeveon Clowney. I don't really think we're going to miss Patrick Queen.
He is, so far, a very likable guy. He, one of his former teammates, I forget which one in Baltimore, said sometimes the grass isn't greener, and Queen went to Twitter with that and just posted a silent video of himself drinking a beer and watering his lawn, which was tremendous. So he's a likable guy, yes, and maybe even a potential leader. Do you see him that way?
Joe, I love my mother. I love her dearly. Doesn't mean I want her to play linebacker for my team. You know what I mean? If I give an opinion about a player that's less than stellar, it's not personal. I mean, I don't like the guy. Does it? It just means that I don't think a lot of him as a player. I think Patrick Queen was always a likable guy. I could sit down and next to him and have that beer with him and have a good conversation. He's a very funny guy. He's witty. He's very quick with it. And he has a lot of great responses on social media. I just don't think he's a football player that the Ravens needed to extend. I don't think he's someone that you're really going to miss on that defense that was so good last year.
Let's break that down just a little bit. I can't remember if we did last time. What do you like best about his actual game, and what's worst about his game? What might not play here?
And I think his speed is tremendous. He gets two plays a lot, and then quick. At times, he's not the best tackler, and at times, he's not the best in coverage. He got better maybe the last year here in Baltimore, but at times, he's not that great in coverage, and at times, he comes and he unloads on ball carriers, and he doesn't wrap. He doesn't finish. I love to see that part of his game change. I hope he goes to Pittsburgh and becomes an All-Pro. But no, I'm not going to go that far, because I mean, you guys are good. I hope he has some success in Pittsburgh. But I think his speed is tremendous. He covers sideline to sideline well, but he doesn't always finish. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Rob, in your opinion, what do you think of the Steelers bringing in Russell Wilson? And then how do you predict this division 1-4 this year?
Can I ask you a question with a question?
Yes.
Is Russell Wilson really going to be the quarterback?
Man, I'll be surprised. No, I'll be shocked if he's not the quarterback for week one. I'll be shocked.
Okay, well, for week one, yes. But moving forward, I don't know if he's the best quarterback you have. I don't. I mean, I saw Russell Wilson in Seattle, and then I saw Russell Wilson in Denver. Who's Russell Wilson? Would a real Russell Wilson please stand up? Because if that guy we saw in Denver, I don't know if that guy's the best quarterback on the team. He seemed to be a little bit separated from his teammates as well. We heard things in Seattle, but I didn't believe it because I didn't see it. Then when he goes to Denver, I see it. So I don't know what guy you're getting there either. I agree with you, Joe. Week one, he will be there. I think he'll be the guy, barring injuries. But I don't know if Russell Wilson is the best quarterback on your roster or the best option long-term at quarterback on your roster.
No, that's completely fair. I feel like, and I push for them to get Russell, that in an organization where the coach seemingly hated him and didn't want him around, and the organization itself was almost working against him. I thought he played pretty damn good last year. He beat in a row Cleveland, Minnesota, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Green Bay. He went toe-to-toe with Josh Allen in a night game that I just rewatched to make sure I actually saw it, and he was unbelievable late in that game. He had 26 touchdowns and 8 picks for a team that didn't want him. I tend to think he can still play, while acknowledging I could be very wrong. I think he can still play.
Why didn't teammates in Seattle like him? Why did he all of a sudden become separated from his teammates in Denver? Is it true that teammates couldn't talk to him? They had to go contact his agent to speak to him? Are those things true?
Again, very case, fair. Very fair. I've seen some jackass quarterbacks have success, including one around here. At least he was when he was younger, not the most likable guy, and that was Ben. I'm more curious what they – I'm more interested what they do on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. Being a jackass is one thing. Being divisive is another. That's not – listen, you can say Baltimore and Pittsburgh are rivals. We're rivals because we're so much alike. That's not going to play well in that culture with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It won't. That will not play well in that culture. That he will get run off real quick in Pittsburgh by the organization and by the people. So I'm hoping either it's not all true or he understands where he is and he acts accordingly, because it's not going to play well there.
Lastly, 1-4 in the AFC North, and who makes the playoffs?
1-4. I think the Baltimore Ravens make the play, win the division, but I think if he stays healthy, then Joe Burrow will also go to the playoffs with the Cincinnati Bengals.
So Ravens 1, Bengals 2, and then what?
I go Pittsburgh because it's just, you know, Mike Tomlin, and then Cleveland pulling up the rear. I don't know about Deshaun Watson, man, and I think this is that do your thing or get off the toilet season for Deshaun Watson. I don't think they'll make a quarterback change. You've got to let him play. You're paying him a tremendous amount of money. Their quarterback's making more than him now, but that whole thing is guaranteed. I don't know. You talk about that. I don't know who he really is. We talk about Russell Wilson. I don't know who Deshaun Watson is. I think the coaching situation is pretty good in Cleveland, but I don't trust the quarterback. And I don't know if they have the pieces around him to make him better. I cannot go with a losing season in Pittsburgh until they actually have one under Mike Tomlin. So in order for me to pick them in last place, it said I'm predicting a losing season. That will not happen. So I'm going Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns.
Great stuff, Rob. We appreciate the time and the insight on the Ravens, and hopefully we can talk soon.
I love it, Joe. You know I love coming on the show, man.
Love it. We do too. Thank you, man.
Have a good one.
That guy is incredible. He's absolutely incredible. Is he not?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's one of my favorite radio hosts from around the area. any guest that we bring on, he's one of my favorites because he brings it. He does not hold back. And, I mean, the brash opinions. I love he's throwing it right back at you about Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Teammates don't like him in Seattle. He brings it.
It was great. I mean, there's no doubt. I did a piece on Russell Wilson this morning for the Post-Gazette that you can read at postgazette.com, where I talked to our next guest, I might add, Chad Jamieson, Franklin regional guy. He's now a top Florida scout evaluator for National Prep. Back when Russell showed up at NC State, Chad was sort of running their recruiting department. So he had tons of interaction with Russell. Russell Wilson got off a Greyhound 16 years ago from Richmond, Virginia at NC State. Nobody there. And they had a very notable coaching staff with people like Mark Trestman, Steve Dunlap, who would later become a really good coordinator, defensive coordinator at West Virginia. Mike Archer would eventually be on that staff. The head coach at first was Chuck Amato. They didn't think anything of Russell Wilson. Like, you know, here's this kid, this undersized quarterback, took a bus here, you know, big deal. And then he just lit it up. And the gist of my story was a theme that I've talked about on this show before, that Russell's diva personality, right, the prima donna that some want to portray him as, just doesn't match the kind of football player he's always been. Divas don't combatively play the game the way he does, taking 527 sacks and rushing for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and showing up every single week. He's made 188 out of like 195 possible starts in his career. This guy constantly trying to prove to people as basically an unrecruited high school kid and then a third round pick that he is worthy. And he's a ferocious competitor. And I wanted to dive back into that sort of with his NC State roots. So I talked to Chad and some other people for that story. And the question for me is that still Russell Wilson? Does he still have the chip on his shoulder? Or have all the tens of millions of dollars and the star turns that his career has taken and marrying a literal diva, right? Ciara. Is that how you say her name?
City Limits? Ciara.
Ciara. International music star. Has all that changed him? Has it eroded that ferocious competitive spirit? Man, I don't think so. I think for a year in Denver, he was lost. And I think Nate Hackett helped lose him, by the way. That can't help. I don't know that a combination of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, and Brett Favre in their primes could have had a good year under Nate Hackett, for God's sakes. But I think last year he rekindled that. And I went back and I watched the end of the Buffalo game. Do yourself a favor if you're out there. It takes 5 minutes. Look up Bills Broncos highlights. Google it from last year and watch the last couple drives. He's going toe-to-toe with Josh Allen, making unbelievable plays. Improvisational plays where he's about to get tackled and flips it forward, you know, sort of underhand. He did that twice to P. Ryan. He made a great touchdown throw where he was getting crushed. He made a bunch of accurate throws. He went blow for blow with Josh Allen and outplayed him and won the game at the end. And there seemed to be some backlash against his ad-lib style of play in Denver. If you don't want improvisational Russell Wilson, then you don't want Russell Wilson. And Sean Payton never wanted him. That's his game. That's what he does. So to make a long story longer, we're going to talk to Chad Jamison next. And also, you know, I understand Rob Long's concerns about Russell. I wouldn't be totally surprised if this thing completely blew up. And maybe Russell Wilson has changed. But I got to believe there's still that chip on his shoulder. There has to be. There just has to be. Denver paid this guy $38 million to go away. I don't think you just lose that kind of competitive spirit. We're going to talk to Chad about that next, how Russell Wilson was the first guy in that building every day at NC State and the last guy to leave. Here's another thing I'm not buying, by the way. While I'm on a little bit of a roll here, Limitless Wonder, is this idea that signing Russell Wilson was a no-risk proposition for the Steelers. What? I get that if it blows up, there's no financial ramifications, but there's absolutely a risk. I heard just the other day, I think it was an old clip from Good Morning Football when this first happened, that the Steelers are only paying Russell Wilson $1 million, so what do they have to lose? A season. That's what they have to lose. There's a ton risked here. Every season is a lifetime in the NFL, and they're taking this one precious season, the only one that exists, the only one in the present, and handing it to Russell Wilson. This is a precious year in the careers of TJ Watt and Minka and Cam Hayward. What do you mean? What do they have to lose? Everything. This season, which is the only season that exists. I don't understand that mindset at all. And the fact that they're committing this precious season to Russell Wilson for TJ, for Cam, for Minka, for a ton of people has nothing to do with whether they're paying him 1 cent or $500 million. The risk is that Russell Wilson's their quarterback for this year. Great. So if things blow up, they have no financial commitment to him beyond this and hardly any this year. That's wonderful. That's very different than what they've risked. So I ain't buying that one bit. The questions for me are, can he still play? Was he sufficiently humbled by the disaster in Denver. And does he have any more I told you so in him? Because that's how he's built his whole career. And I think he does. I think he does. We'll talk to Chad about that coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Next. Couple of news items to pass along. Brian Reynolds out of the lineup today with back spasms. Is that right, City Limits?
Yeah, per the Pirates, he is day-to-day, and it ends his streak of playing every single game this season unless he goes in as a pinch hitter.
So their horrific lineup is even worse today.
Not ideal, and that lineup is not out yet.
And then Najee Harris went to great lengths to avoid the media this morning. Is there video of this?
There is. There's numerous videos out there. Some saying, forge your own path, Najee, where he did not go down the path, you know, the regular trail, the walking path or the road, whatever. He took the route of going through the grass, walking through all the grass, past the pathways, and instead of going down the stairs to get to the dorm room at the hall, Najee stepped right past a couple of little plants and took the big leap down, basically, instead of taking the stairs, where, like, the plants are and there's mulch and stuff like that, and took his big suitcases, hopped down, and walked right through the door and not talking to anybody.
New meaning to the Najee leap, huh?
It means he doesn't want to talk, and it doesn't seem like he's going to talk today.
Yeah, that's going to be a story the first time he does, but the biggest story at Steeler camp.
Here's the update. We have an update from Jeff Athorn.
Please.
Najee Harris says that he had a meeting, and he is not talking right now. So we'll see if that changes.
He already has a meeting. All right.
I wonder what he's meeting about.
Well, the biggest story at Steeler camp, by far not close, is Russell Wilson. And I still can't believe that he is actually the Steelers quarterback. And this caused me over the past couple days to sort of dive into Russell's history. Because as I was just saying before we went to break, there's this paradox with Russell Wilson where some want to portray him as a diva. But that completely contradicts his playing style, his approach to the game over really his whole life, where he is a blood and guts competitor who's taken 500 sacks, who's run the ball for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, who's taken how many other hits in his career, and he shows up every single day. He's missed I don't know, a handful of starts in his whole career. And some of those were because he was benched by Sean Payton, even though he was mostly winning games at that point. So this led me to some people from Russell's history, including one Chad Jameson, who is now the Florida scouting director for National Preps. He's also a Franklin regional grad who was basically running the recruiting department at the time Russell Wilson showed up at NC State as a very lightly recruited quarterback and a two-sport guy. Chad, I appreciate you joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Joe. How are you doing?
Great. Really excited here about the start of Steeler camp. You're on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You shared some great Russell stories with me yesterday, Chad, when we spoke. Take us back to that time when a pretty notable coaching staff at NC State, Mark Trestman was on that staff, Steve Dunlap, yes. People like that. Steve Dunlap we knew later on when he became West Virginia's defensive coordinator, or maybe before that, I can't remember now. None of those guys knew much about Russell. He was undersized. He gets off a Greyhound bus, and what's everybody thinking?
Well, obviously his film was real good, but didn't know how big he was. So he didn't. I think his only offer at the time, which we talked about, was Richmond. His older brother had played there. And so we brought him in to work him out and see him in person, and we had a few highly recruited quarterbacks that year. Robert Marv was one that comes to mind that I believe went to Miami. But Mark Trestman worked him out, and I remember when he was throwing, we riversided and switched sides of the field so Russell could throw either against or with the wind. And when I passed Mark Trestman, we both looked at each other. I go, what do you think? He goes, he's the best guy we've had here. I was like, yeah, no kidding. So, and then that's what eventually led to him being offered. And like you said, at that time, we had a pretty good staff. Mark Trestman was there, of course. My tight end, NC State, was I played at IUP as well. So I was at the same, an IUP grad. And the Cignetti family is who got me into college coaching. So Kurt Cignetti was there at the time as well on the offensive staff. So we had Mark Trestman, Kurt Cignetti, and Pat Meyer, the offensive line coach, currently with the Steelers, was also there at the time.
Now, you've stayed in touch a little bit, I see, with Russell over the years. And I think what everybody's curious about, because it's not hard to find ex-players in the NFL who don't portray him very kindly, a guy distanced from his teammates, a little bit of a diva, a guy who maybe fell in love with his star power. But you were telling me that people sometimes mistake Russell Wilson's persona, that he's really not that guy, that he's the guy that you met all those years ago. Do I have that right, Chad?
Yeah, I think he's always been and will be the hardest worker. So, I haven't been around him since, college. So, some people change a little bit, but I still think from everything I know and hear from coaches in the league, et cetera, he's still that guy that's the first one there in the morning and last one to leave. And I don't think you can be a successful NFL quarterback unless you do that anyway. And a quarterback kind of has to be a diva, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's the star, right?
He's the star. He's got to be the leader of the team. I always go back to, I was having a conversation earlier with a guy I used to work with, the first offensive coordinator when I first went to NC State was Norm Chow, and he would always say that, I would talk to him, and he would always say, with like a quarterback, you can never correct him in front of the other coaches or the team because he's the leader, and everybody has to know that he's different. And it was always a pretty interesting way to look at how a quarterback has to be treated different. So a lot of times, all quarterbacks, even some people I'm sure said Tom Brady was a diva, right? So, but that guy has to be different. So,
well, when I look,
also he is the hardest worker, though. I guarantee, even right now, if you ask the coaches on staff there at Pittsburgh, they'd probably say he's a breath of fresh air, first one there, last to leave.
Yeah, you mentioned Todd Rice was the strength coach back at NC State. He would later come to Pitt and work under Paul Christ, and now People know his name because he works, you know, almost all off season or all year round with the Bosa brothers. Yeah. He told you that Russell would be the first guy at the weight room in the morning and last to leave. Yes.
Yes. Yes. It was almost like a, Todd would say, like, it was almost like a badge of honor for Russell that if one day Todd would show up at 4:50 in the morning, the next day Russell would make sure he's there at 4:45. So he would always be the first one in the parking lot. Mm. He was that type of kid.
He was also a two-sport star, as we know, in baseball. And then, you know, Chad, I think...
That actually, sorry to cut in, Joe, but that makes it more interesting because even though he was playing baseball, he was still the first one in the spring, because in the spring he would be playing baseball, but he'd still show up and put in all the hours in the weight room for with the football team.
Wow. And I don't think, I can't imagine that people change, right? But the essence of Russell Wilson, that worker... that guy who has a chip on his shoulder because nobody really wanted him out of high school and nobody wanted him in the first or second round in the NFL draft. I don't know. Does that just disappear? Because another part that stands out from his story at NC State, and I gleaned this, which is where I got in touch with you too, from a piece on NC State Rivals, where it was an oral history of Russell Wilson's time there. His dad, Harrison Wilson III, became very ill when Russell was there, and he would go visit his dad, who had both legs amputated from diabetes. He'd visit him on a Thursday night, make the 2.5-hour drive back to Richmond, and then come back Friday morning and play in the games on Saturday. A heart like that, people do change, but I got to believe that stays. That just doesn't disappear.
No, it does not. You're right about that. I mean, that speaks to who he is, you know.
Do you remember that when he was doing all that?
Yes, I do. I do. Because I remember, too, his dad would come to the games, and at the end there, he would be in a wheelchair, and we would have to let him. We had to get permission from the NCAA, believe it or not, to let him into the, our facility where the offices are to watch the games because he couldn't be in the stadium. So, yeah, but I remember that. But even though that all happened, he was still the same guy on the field. So, you know, he didn't use it as a way to get out of things or get out of practice or anything. He was still always there.
And his dad was a powerful figure. You told me that you'd have some conversations when you guys were trying to close the deal with Russell. You and his dad would have some conversations in the parking lot on the way to his car.
Yeah, it was one conversation that always stuck in my mind, even before Russell Wilson or anybody knew who he was, or even before he was a starter at NC State. But I remember walking to the car with his dad, and he stopped in a parking lot. He said, "I want you to know, my son, I didn't raise him just to be a quarterback. He'll be the face of your university, and I raise him where he could be the president of the United States if he wants. That's what you're getting." And that always stuck with me because it's true. He is that type of kid. So he's not a kid anymore, obviously, but at the time, like I think I was telling you last night, there's certain people that when you meet them, you know they're different. And he was one of them, and obviously Philip Rivers was another one. Whenever you meet them, you know they walk in a room and they're different. So
Chad Jameson, Florida scouting director for National Preps. Played a little football at Franklin Regional and was key in helping run the recruiting department at NC State when Russell Wilson arrived all those years ago. My friend City Limits wants to pop in with a question here, Chad.
Yeah, sure. Chad, when you were first talking to Russell, could you tell that just the high football IQ was there? Is this something that's continued to develop, just his mind for the game and the way that he goes about his business?
Well, you can tell when you just talk to him, he's intelligent, right? And then just based on his, he played at a prep school, which was a very good school. And you saw his junior year stats. I believe it was like, even though the competition wasn't great, he did what he needed to do. He threw for like 3,500 yards and ran for over 1,000. So just that tells you he was something special, because you have to have ability, but also football IQ to be able to do those things. And he never had a problem picking up an offense or anything like that once he was a freshman right away. So football IQ he has.
Lastly, Chad, you've been an observer of football all your life, pretty much, and you're scouting Florida players every day, practically. Do you think that this offense suits Russell? Do you think he's primed for a successful year, even as he's turning 36 in November?
Yes, because if you have a good defense, the main thing to do is not turn the ball over. So you need to have a running game, because it's still a game of possessions, even though some offensive guys just want to throw the ball every down to get their name in a paper, but which is fine. But to win games, good defense, don't turn the ball over. And I think we were talking last night about Russell at one point, I think he tied or broke the record NCAA record attempts without throwing an interception. And his touchdown to interception ratio has been pretty good his whole career. And I think that'll transfer to Pittsburgh, and you know, that will be big for them. Just not turning the ball over and being able to play good defense puts them in every game, and being able to make plays and under pressure, and when it matters, Russell can do that. So I think that'll fit in perfectly with what they're trying to do on offense.
Well, Chad, I really appreciate you taking the time yesterday and today. The story's up at postgazette.com, and this was great stuff. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. That's Chad Jamieson. You can read his stuff, by the way, at National Preps, all the work that he does for them. And what he just said about Russell Wilson is interesting, because when you look at his career since he started as a rookie in Seattle, there's 1 year and 1 year only, where the touchdown to interception ratio makes you go, what happened there? And I will tell you what happened there. Nate Hackett happened there. And even then, like, the worst he ever did was 16 touchdowns and 11 picks. And that was 2 years ago. And by the way, as Chad explained to me yesterday, Russell was dealing with an injured lat that year that was affecting him. I think he was dealing mostly, though, with an injured offense created by Nate Hackett. That's the worst of it. Other than that, you're looking at a guy. Here we go, City Limits. You ready for his touchdown to interception ratios in his career?
Okay.
26 to 10, 26 to 9, 20 to 7. 34 to 8, 21 to 11, not great. 34 to 11, 35 to 7, 31 to 5, 40 to 13, 25 to 6, then Nate Hackett, and then 26 to 8. And again, I would urge everybody out there, because we had Rob Long earlier from Baltimore, and I know people agree with him, and he might be right. He doesn't know that Russell Wilson's going to last more than a couple games here. But if you don't think Russell Wilson can still play, watch the end of that Bills game from last year in Buffalo against a then relatively healthy Bills defense, I might add, and how he outplayed Josh Allen down the stretch and won that game for them. And it wasn't systematically thanks to Sean Payton. It was improvisationally thanks to Russell Wilson. Watch that. All right. Thank you, City Limits.
All right, Ron.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.